Welcome back in PZ85 Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. I am Cody Sandusky. I am very glad to be back. And just in case you can't hear, sinuses and allergies are still a thing, and I hate them. But that's the beauty of Southeast Missouri, where one week you can have dry weather and one week you can have a foot of rain and imagine Noah floating down Broadway, as we maybe have seen once or twice during these last few weeks. But this is Podzilla 1985 Sports, back from its two-week hiatus. It's August 20th, 2016. This is being recorded on Friday night, though, August 19th, 2016, because I'm here at the studios down on Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau because of the Friday Night Blitz and the Friday Night Overtime shows, which you can hear from 6 to 6:45 p.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. respectively on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM, 1220 AM, and 93.9 FM, The River, for all your Southeast Missouri high school football coverage. Now, the plug is out of the way. I'm back, so I get to record at a different time. It's very rejuvenating. I'm excited. I've missed doing this the last couple weeks, but honestly, my voice just couldn't take it. And this is an experiment in and of itself, if my voice can take it now, because as I record this, it's about 8 o'clock. I have football postgame show coverage to do between 9:30 and 11, kind of in that window, and then I'm back at it for a Saturday morning show at 9 a.m. I didn't think my voice could do two consecutive hours of it. Maybe it could. Maybe this is a bad idea. We're going to find out. But in the sports world, there have been plenty of bad ideas because segue. The Olympics have been happening, and I know we talked about hyping it up as we were going toward the beginning of the Olympics, but magic happened, and by magic I mean allergies, and we weren't able to talk about a lot of the Olympics buildup as well as the things that have been happening. In case you've missed some of the fun stuff, Michael Phelps has become the greatest single Olympian of all time, passing up Leonidas. Yes, that is a name that you maybe haven't have heard in a long time, and no, I'm not speaking of the gentleman from 300. Leonidas was the most decorated Olympian in ancient times. I say ancient times. That's really what it was. Michael Phelps is the greatest Olympian to participate in this competition in over 1,000 years. Think about that. That is insane. One, to the longevity of what the Olympics has meant in all these years, and two, the fact that he has been able to do so much more in it than people who were there when, you know, the Olympics actually happened. By the way, Leonidas of Rhodes, yes, much like the convenience stores in our area, one of the most famous ancient Olympians. For four straight Olympiads, he was a champion of 3 foot races. So he was a runner, but he's been eclipsed by a guy swimming in an Olympic-sized pool. You know, a thing they probably didn't do in the original Olympics. But nonetheless, and I say in 2,000 years, actually, because Leonidas was born in approximately 188 BCE. So historic, to say the least, for Michael Phelps. You've seen Katie Ledecky, the 19-year-old young lady from the United States, swimming and doing very well for herself. If you need to see dominance in sports, just I've said it on almost every sports thing I've been on in the last few weeks, go back and watch her women's 800-meter freestyle swim, the final, from the 2016 Rio Olympics. I don't care how you have to see the footage, just go look at it. She broke her own world record again, by almost 2 whole seconds, and beat her second-place competitor by 11 seconds. Yes, I'll wait while you are shocked and amazed by that statement. Again, she beat her second-place competitor by 11 seconds. Her lead was so insurmountable, so large, that at multiple times when they looked at her, especially the last 100, 150 meters, when they did the wide shot, you know, if you've ever seen the Olympics, they do the wide shot where you can see kind of not quite from above, but close to that angle, maybe 75 degrees, where you see the swimmers and maybe how they align with each other in the pool between the 8 lanes. Katie Ledecky was so far ahead, there was no one else in the camera shot. There was no one else to be seen. I joked with my fiance, Emily, who I found out, by the way, is a huge fan of the Olympics. So now every 2 years between the Winter and Summer Olympics, I get to watch sports unadulterated every night for like a week and a half. So yay me. But as we watched, we made the comment that she could have stopped swimming. She could probably, for about 400 meters, kind of perched herself up on the podium behind herself on the opposite end of the pool, propped open a book for a few seconds, maybe thumbed through a Sports Illustrated article, toss the magazine aside, go back to swimming, and probably still at least bronze. That is how dominant that race was. And yes, while we talk about in this pantheon of sports, and we're going to get into it in a minute with Usain Bolt doing the same thing, going the triple-triple in the 100 meters and the 200 meters, winning gold in that race 3 consecutive Olympics, which is an astronomical feat by itself. But we're going to talk about some of these historic athletes, these dominant people who've just completely eclipse anyone who has ever participated in their sport or in their selective runs. But Katie Ledecky on such a level that maybe we haven't seen. It's kind of hard to depict that. You know, you talk about your players that eclipse the sport, like your Barry Bonds, like your Michael Jordans, your Tiger Woods, players like that. But you don't necessarily have like that side-by-side in-the-moment comparison. Now, with like Michael Jordan, yes, you had it in the scheme of 5-on-5, but you didn't necessarily see like someone going side-by-side with him doing the same drive or the same layup or the same dunk. Maybe the dunk's the closest thing, so you saw it pretty rapid succession in slam dunk contest in his earlier career. But there was never that immediate in-the-moment side-by-side comparison. Same thing for Barry Bonds. You don't see that. Now, you know they're dominant. Like, you see them playing the sport. You see them doing the same things, or more of the same things, I guess, in terms of like home runs or great hits that other players are doing alongside them at different points. But they do it more often, or they do it even more excellently than other people do. Katie Ledecky, and then Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt much the same way, but specifically for this example, for Katie Ledecky in the 800-meter women's freestyle, you saw in the moment, literally, 8 of the best swimmers in the world at this respective race, and Katie Ledecky almost seemed like lapped them. That is how dominant that was, and it was impressive to see, and I mentioned it to Emily, and I've said it on the air in a couple ways. That may be the most dominant performance, single performance, I have ever witnessed in my entire life. And I don't think that's hyperbole to say. And yes, I have seen footage of the 92 U.S. men's Olympic basketball team, the Dream Team, who just taught everyone else in the world that what they were playing wasn't an Olympic sport, or what they were playing wasn't real basketball. They had something to catch up to. Yes, I've seen these Michael Phelps races. Yes, these Usain Bolt races. They've all been very impressive. Of course, very dominant depending on what the race or the year was. But Katie Ledecky, that performance, that single performance, just seems to eclipse all of those. And, you know, may not make for an interesting race for some people. It may not be the thing they like to see. But for me, it was just in that frame of time, in that window, in that moment, the single most dominant performance I have ever seen. And it maybe is even more pronounced because, again, you see the other competitors side by side in different lanes. Ledecky was in lane 4 or 5. I'm trying to remember at the moment, but she was in one of the middle lanes that you earn by having the best time in the heats. It was just as soon as the gun went, she already had her advantage going into the first 50, the first 100 meters, and you could see it was cruise control. By about 250 meters, the only person she's racing is the yellow line that they transpose upon the pool through the broadcast team and through the production truck to see if the world record is being paced or beaten. That's the only thing she was racing, which, by the way, for Katie Ledecky, this is her 5th time breaking the world record because she's been whittling it down by a second or 2 seconds each time since the world championships in 2013. This young lady was born to do this race, this 800-meter freestyle. She also, if I remember correctly, I cannot confirm it, although I'll try, owns the 1600-meter freestyle world record right now. So this is a young lady that was born to swim long distances, and my goodness, does she do it and do it very well. There's a 1500-meter freestyle that she won in the Pan Pacific Swimming Championships in 2014. So she owns the world record currently. She owns it. It was 1534.23, and she did that in Shenandoah in the United States in 2014. It is insane that that is how that works. I mean, just think about that. Owning world records at 19 years old, something I would never even come close to aspiring to, but the fact that she does this in such a dominant fashion is beyond compare. And it is footage, it is something that, again, I cannot recommend enough. Go find it, go watch it, because it is insane to see it happen. Oh, by the way, let me correct myself. She's the current world record holder in the women's 400, 800, and 1500-meter freestyle long course. She also holds the fastest times in the 500, 800, 1000, and 1650-yard freestyle events. Just insanity to have that happen. It's been an Olympics that has been impressive in some cases by performances on the field, the court, the pool, whatever the mode by which the sports are played, even golf. I really enjoyed the golf competition being played. Justin Rose picking up the gold medal for Great Britain in the first time golf has been played in the Olympics since 1904. which is an infamous Olympics, to be sure, but also the last one to be held in St. Louis. So hooray for that to have happened. Not the brightest moment in our state or our big city's history, but yes, the men's golf competition was interesting to watch, very exciting to watch. Again, Justin Rose winning gold, Henrik Stenson for Sweden winning silver, and Matt Kuchar from the United States winning bronze. Very fun to watch that. And of course, with 2020, the next competition, baseball and softball, will be making their triumphant return. It's all very exciting. But alongside these competitions, there's been some snafus, some bad decisions maybe being made, some poor representation in terms of the facilities that some of the athletes are living in or staying in temporarily. And of course, as there always must be, one embarrassingly boneheaded move by a group of people, or in this case, maybe an individual who was with a group of people who made the group of people look even worse. Because that's the beauty of guilty by association. In case you're missing my subtlety here, and I don't think you are, if you've been following the news of the Olympics at all, of course, you've heard some of the things like water mains breaking, the Australian facility in the Olympic Village being vacated due to a fire alarm, and then having stuff stolen from rooms, including an official for the Australian Olympic group's laptop, different things like that. A couple Australian swimmers breaking curfew, more or less, and one of them, an Australian male swimmer, getting robbed of what he said was almost $1,000 of Australian currency on the beach at Copacabana. Lots of different things. But the big boneheaded decision was Ryan Lochte and company. Allegedly, and I say allegedly, we know the whole story, but it started out as the group allegedly being robbed at the Olympics. Now, what they said happened was that they went to a party in one of the French group facilities outside of the Olympic Village. They were returning by car. They were going to go back to the Olympic Village where they were staying, that their taxi was pulled over, and they were robbed by false policemen. They had pointed guns to their heads. Ryan Lochte apparently showing the biggest pair of cojones in a long time, saying, whatever, dude, basically until the gun was pointed to his head, said, okay, whatever, and went down to the ground. They were robbed, but their credentials were left with them, and they left. These fake police left. They come back to the Olympic Village. Now, footage shows that they, one, had their watches on, two, that they didn't seem too shaken up, this group. And people start asking questions. The Rio Olympic officials, as well as local police officials, weren't totally on board with the story. The group didn't know their taxi number, or didn't know anything about the taxi. Group didn't know anything about these fake police. There was no footage showing any of this. So people were questioning what was going on. They didn't quite know what was happening. I'm trying to pull up the official statement from Ryan Lochte at the time. But he was starting to say, or he just explained on the Today Show when he came back to the U.S. that this is what happened to him. I have the statement via Billy Bush on the Today Show. This is what Ryan Lochte said. Quote, we got pulled over in the taxi and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge, no lights, no nothing, just a police badge, and they pulled us over, Lochte said. They pulled out their guns. They told the other swimmers to get down on the ground. They got down on the ground. I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting down on the ground. Then the guy pulled out his gun, he cocked it, put it to my forehead, and he said, get down. And I put up my hands, I was like, whatever. He took our money, he took my wallet, he left my cell phone, he left my credentials. That was the first statement we got from Lochte, and that was about 12:45 p.m. on August 14th. So just about a week ago today, or I guess when this show is being recorded on the 19th. So you go through that, and of course people are freaking out. The USOC confirms the story, which was waffled back and forth between the IOC and the USOC when it initially was released the night before, or maybe earlier that day, where they weren't sure what the story was. So the USOC comes out and says, according to four members of the United States Olympic swimming team, listed them all, and they kind of detailed what happened briefly. Lochte tweeted out a statement basically affirming his story, saying that he was safe, he was happy he was safe, and that he was looking forward to the 2020 games in Tokyo. So a lot of questionable things happening, you know, whatever. On the 16th, he makes it back to the United States. So Lochte already passes everybody, goes on home to the U.S., leaving the other three swimmers involved still back in Brazil, which makes things very interesting for them. And we'll get into those details as we go along here. The night Lochte gets back to the United States, Rio police start saying that they're not really finding any evidence to support this robbery claim. So things are looking a little sketchy. August 17th, my birthday, which was an exciting day for me, but anyway, Brazilian judge issues an order to seize Lockie and Fagan's passports to prevent them from leaving the country. By the way, at this point, I should probably provide you the other three names of the gentlemen involved: Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and Jimmy Fagan. So at this point, we go through all this, and the judge wants Fagan and Lockie's passports seized to prevent them from leaving. Lockie got the heck out of Dodge. It starts to make the story a little bit more questionable when he's willing to leave a day earlier than the judge getting that order out, as well as a few days before he was supposed to. The USOC, a little bit later in the day, confirms that police arrived at the Olympic Village asking to talk to Lockie and Fagan. We'll see how that goes. It's basically what happened. Conger and Bentz were removed from their plane before it took off for the United States. So basically, they were seized off the plane. They were having their passports seized, and they were being interviewed by police. Things start changing a bit already, and this is on Lockie's side. He changes the story, says the gun was never pressed against his forehead, and an incident occurred outside a gas station bathroom. So he's already starting to flip-flop like this. Lockie was still saying, no, he wouldn't make up a story like this, neither would the others. So you have that. Early the morning of the 18th, Conger and Bentz are reportedly not allowed to leave Brazil until they testify, which they go through all of that. They're trying their best to get all these statements out. The USOC, of course, releases on the morning of the 18th that, hey, they're cooperating as best they can. We're going to see what happens. Mario Andrada, who is a spokesperson for Rio 2016, said to, quote, give these kids a break. This was at 11 a.m. on the 18th. This is before video was released of the case or of what happened at the gas station. So I'll give the guy a little bit of a break here, but here's a statement, and here's why it's probably not good. Quote, no apologies are needed from the athletes. This case, they were having fun, training under pressure. I understand they are under investigation and cannot go much further. Give these kids a break. Sometimes we make actions that we later regret. They had fun. They made a mistake. Life goes on. Now, what he knew at the time, we're not so sure. I don't really know. By the way, though, Ryan Lockie is 32 years old. He's a year older than Michael Phelps, a guy who, yes, made a few sketchy decisions, a few bad decisions with DUIs and whatnot in the United States, but kept his nose clean in Olympic competition, never had a problem like this, and is now back home safely, not having his passport reined in for any reason, spending time with his infant son and his fiance. So, yeah, that's kind of how that works. It looked really good for him as a guy a year younger than Ryan Lockie, the quote-unquote kid involved in this situation. Yes, if this was just a robbery situation, if they hadn't fabricated this story, yeah, maybe you go a little lax. And when we get into the details of the story, as we're going to hear in just a second on what actually happened at the gas station that night or that morning, you can determine yourself if, yes, it's a little bit of a fun situation, maybe kind of just a goofy mistake and a dumb decision, or if it's something more malicious. But the statement had very poor timing because just an hour later, video emerges of those swimmers being confronted at the gas station. This is a quote from Globo.com, which is a Brazilian publication. Quote, images of a gas station security camera on Avenue of the Americas in Barra da Tijuca, west of Rio Zone, show the moment of confusion among the American swimmers and security establishment. According to the video, they come out of the bathroom, which would have made the depredations, and then are unable to leave the premises by security. The images also show one of the swimmers raising their hands while addressing the security. According to the civil police, swimmers lied to say they were assaulted by police-dressed men. Lockie's teammates just right then say to the police that the robbery story was fabricated by Lockie. Oh boy, you from another country. Mind you, Lockie again is in the U.S. The other three, Conklin, Fagan, and Bentz, are in Brazil still. So they're kind of stuck. They're not feeling the need to kind of cover for their boy anymore, which, by the way, obviously not that good of a boy if he's willing to get out of town before you have the chance to get the safety or before the truth gets to come out. Excuse me, not Conklin, Conger. Bentz, Conger, and Fagan. Still in Brazil at this point, already spilling the beans that, hey, he lied, but he's gone. So we're saving our skin at this point. The police later confirmed that the guards did point their guns at the swimmers. They recommend that Lockie and Fagan be indicted on charges of false reporting of a crime. Kind of a bad look. Oh, it continues going. The USOC releases a statement saying they apologize to the people of Brazil, to the hosts in Rio for the distracting ordeal and for the false accusations. Fagan agrees to pay almost $11,000 to a charity to, quote unquote, resolve the issue. He paid almost $11,000, $10,800 is kind of the approximation. It's a 35,000 real, which is the Brazilian currency, to an unspecified charity or, in the statements, a quote unquote institute. After the donation is done, his passport is given back to him and he goes home, or he is free to go home. August 19th, which is the day of this recording, today, the 19th, he gets a statement from Gunnar Bentz, who is a swimmer still at the University of Georgia, class of 2018. So he's still a guy in school. So he's got to watch his skin for multiple other things. He mostly corroborates Lockie's revised story, and here's his statement. Quote, I want to offer sincere apologies to the United States Olympic Committee, USA Swimming, the extraordinary women and men of Team USA, and the University of Georgia. Goes on to give pleasantries, about being on the Olympic swimming team. It's a dream come true. He, quote, I regret this decision has drawn attention away from the Olympics, which have been hosted so incredibly well by Brazil and its citizens. While I am anxious to put this matter behind me and rejoin my Georgia teammates in classes, practices, and competitions, I feel compelled to stress several key points. One, I was never a suspect in the case from the beginning. Brazilian law enforcement officials saw me only as a witness. Two, I never made a false statement to anyone at any time. Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger kind of fall in the same thing. They were interviewed as witnesses only by the Brazilian police and were allowed to go once their statements were made. Quote, I also want to be forthright about the details of what transpired last Sunday. What follows is consistent with the account I gave to the Brazilian authorities when I was interviewed for the first and only time on Thursday in Rio de Janeiro. After attending an event with several swimmers from different nations, I left in a taxi cab alongside with U.S. swimmers Jack Conger, Jimmy Fagan, and Ryan Lochte around 6 a.m. On the way back to the Olympic Village, we pulled into a convenience store to use the restroom. There was no restroom inside, so we foolishly relieved ourselves on the backside of the building behind some bushes. Or, you know, how things happen in Southeast Missouri and apparently in the South as well. There was a locked door out back, and I did not witness anyone breaking it open. I am unsure why, but while we were in that area, Ryan pulled to the ground a framed metal advertisement that was loosely anchored to the brick wall. I then suggested to everyone that we needed to leave the area and we returned to the taxi. Two men, whom I believed to have been security guards, then instructed us to exit the vehicle. No guns were drawn during this exchange, but we did see a gun tucked into one of the guards' waistbands. As Jimmy and Jack were walking away from the vehicle, the first security guard held up a badge to me and drew his handgun. I yelled to them to come back toward us, and they complied. Then the second guard drew his weapon, and both guards pointed their guns at us and yelled at us to sit on a nearby sidewalk. Again, I cannot speak to his actions, but Ryan stood up and began to yell at the guards. After Jack and I both tugged at him in an attempt to get him to sit back down, Ryan and the security guards had a heated verbal exchange, but no physical contact was made. Here's a pause in the story. Two young guns, the younger guys, you know, the people who you're supposed to lead by example if you're Ryan Lochte, are having to pull him from getting popped in the head, either with a hand, the bottom of a gun, the butt of a gun, or maybe a bullet, for being an idiot and arguing with security guards for a gas station that you vandalized by pulling off the anchored metal sign, and also by getting in their face with their weapons drawn. Ryan Lochte's an idiot, and I think we have all the evidence we will ever need to prove that in this story. As we continue on Bent's statement. Quote, a man that I believed to be a customer approached us and offered to help us as he spoke both English and Portuguese. Understandably, we were frightened and confused during this time. Through the interpreter, one of the guards said that we needed to pay them in order to leave. I gave them what I had in my wallet, which was a $20 bill, and Jimmy gave them 100 reals, which is about $50 in total. They lowered the guns and I used hand gestures to ask if it was okay to leave, and they said yes. We walked about a block down the street and hailed another taxi to return to the village. Videos of the situation have been emerging the last several days. However, I am confident that some video angles have not been shown that would further substantiate my account. I also believe some scenes have been skipped over. Additionally, I would like to stress that our original taxi was not pulled over. The only occupants of the taxi were the four of us and the driver, and to my knowledge, there was no damage done to the door or the inside of the restroom. I am so thankful for the love and support of my family, my friends, and my teammates during this time. Without question, I am taking away a valuable life lesson from this situation. In everything I do, I am representing my family, my country, and my school. I will not take that responsibility lightly. So that's where we stand right now. Lotke is, some people are still asking for him to be actually charged with fabricating a police report or a robbery charge. We don't know if that's going to happen. Benz and Conger gave their statements and they've left. Fagan paid his approximately $11,000 and he's left. And of course, Lotke was home to avoid any of this directly from Brazil. Now, I don't know how to feel about it, given his lawyer doubled down on the story, and basically Lotke did the same, saying that, yes, this happened. We believe this happened. Why would they make this up? No one benefits from making this up. Well, yeah, you do benefit from making up a better story than ripping off a sign from a building at a gas station you have no business ripping off, peeing on the side of the building, and maybe or maybe not damaging the bathroom door to this gas station. None of these things were necessary. But you did them anyway. And so to make yourself look better, and because you don't think there are security cameras around, because you forget it's 2016 and everyone has a camera in their pocket, so why wouldn't a gas station or a convenience place where money could be stolen, where things could happen, or you need to monitor things, wouldn't have security cameras? Remember what I said about Ryan Lotke being an idiot? It's continuing here. So today being the 19th, he released a statement talking about what happened or what happened to him, what his thoughts were, and maybe his fabrication of the situation. He didn't give a full account on what happened, but he did give a statement on Instagram, because that's the way things are handled nowadays, on Instagram. And here's his statement, his side of the story. Quote, I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend, for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events of that early morning and for my role in taking the focus away from the many athletes fulfilling their dreams of participating in the Olympics. I waited to share these thoughts until it was confirmed that the legal situation was addressed and it was clear that my teammates would be arriving home safely. It's traumatic to be out late with your friends in a foreign country with a language barrier and have a stranger point a gun at you and demand money to let you leave. But regardless of the behavior of anyone else that night, I should have been much more responsible in how I handled myself, and for that I am sorry to my teammates, my fans, my fellow competitors, my sponsors, and the hosts of this great event. I am very proud to represent my country in Olympic competition, and this was a situation that could and should have been avoided. I accept responsibility for my role in this happening and have learned some valuable lessons. I am grateful for my USA swimming teammates in the USOC and appreciate all the efforts of the IOC, the Rio 16 host committee, and the people of Brazil who welcomed us to Rio and worked so hard to make sure that these Olympic Games provided a lifetime of great new memories. There's already been too much said and too many valuable resources dedicated to what happened last weekend. So I hope we spend our time celebrating the great stories and performances of these games and look ahead to celebrating future successes. Did I miss any personal responsibility in that statement? Just a brief smidgen of, quote, I should have been much more responsible in how I handle myself, and for that I am sorry to blah, 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 and that this was a situation that could have and should have been avoided. Really, insert kind of the Nicolas Cage thing here. You don't say? Really, you should have acted more responsible. You shouldn't have damaged a bathroom door. You shouldn't have ripped a metal sign off a gas station for whatever reason you had as an inebriated idiot. And you shouldn't have gotten in the face of guys with guns who provide security for this establishment. Huh, that's a head-scratcher, Ryan. I'm sure that it's clear to see now, with hindsight and multiple thousands of miles between you and the place where you committed these moron moves, that you should have done things differently. Oh, and you apologize to the teammates that you ditched in a foreign country by not accepting responsibility for your actions. So much so, you left them there while their passports were confiscated, and one of the young men had to pay $11,000 to an institution, what is rumored to be a sport charity, to leave the country while you bolted a couple days before you were supposed to. Clean and clear. No problems, no accepting responsibility, still doubling down on your statement that you got robbed at gunpoint, and when someone cocked a gun and put it to your head, you said, okay, whatever, and got down on the ground. Ryan Lotke, while he's already been second banana to Michael Phelps this entire time, Ryan Lochte's been going to the Olympics since Michael Phelps has been going to the Olympics. Again, he's only 1 year older. They've been a part of relays together. They've won gold medals together. Michael Phelps has also beaten him for gold medals in multiple occasions during his illustrious career. Ryan Lochte no longer has a legacy. Whatever legacy he could have had, which, mind you, had Michael Phelps not existed or been what he is, Ryan Lochte could go down and still maybe deserves to go down in sheer performance as one of the better Olympic swimmers of all time. He just had the unfortunate situation of being from the same country, the same age, and the same time frame as the greatest Olympian of all time, performance-wise, record-wise, medal-wise, I guess, all around. But for you to go through this situation, for him to have done this, for him to accept zero personal responsibility at first, and then just haphazardly, kind of halfway accept responsibility now that he's been caught in a lie, and now that his fellow countrymen, his swimming teammates, got forced to stay in a country and clean up his mess. His legacy is sullied, it's soiled, and he deserves nothing less. Yes, apologies can happen. Yes, recovery can happen. Restoration can happen. Those are possible. I'm not saying it's a permanent thing. Maybe I'm coming across that aggressively, and maybe I should check myself, because, of course, we all make boneheaded decisions, and redemption is possible. But, man alive, is this the stupidest thing I've heard of someone doing in a while. Ryan Lochte, you are easily the moron of the Olympics. That's the long and short of it. You, terrible decision for your country, terrible decision for yourself, lying and doubling down on your lie about being robbed when you're the one that started the trouble and you left other people to clean up your mess. Thanks, jerk. You did a great job. So Ryan Lochte no longer has my respect, as if the bleached gray that turned blue in the Olympic pool hair did him any favors. It didn't. We've always seen Ryan Lochte's always been the party guy, in contrast to the Michael Phelps stoic stay inside the Olympic Village kind of things like that. You know, you party. You're in the Olympics. You've earned it. You've been training for 2 to 4 years nonstop, restricting anything food-wise, like entertainment-wise. You've lived a very rigid life, so now you're at the place where you compete, and once your competitions are done, yeah, party up. Do whatever. That's fun. People all over the world. Dude at one point was asked if he'd gotten on Tinder, and he said, no, not yet, but he probably would have because look at all the women from all around the world. I get that. That's fine. That's all well and good. That's your decision, dude. But don't do stupid things like this. Make terrible decisions about lying about it, and then let other people take the blame or take the grief. You did it all from home. You sat in your cushy home in the United States. Didn't have to sweat any of the bullets that your teammates did while they were forced off of a plane and not allowed their passports back until they were interviewed, found out that you falsified your story, ratted you out because that's what you deserved, and then one of them had to pay almost $11,000 to get out of Dodge. That's on you. I hope all of them blacklist you from their friendship group, whatever means you communicate, and I hope that they don't have to swim with you if you go to Tokyo in 2020. That's a big if, because he's going to be 35, 36 years old, swimming against some young guns who are going to be hungry and want to do anything but be paired or surrounded by his legacy, quote unquote, or his mistake is what it really is. There had been a few reports that the swimmers had been suspended by the United States Olympic Committee, the USOC, as I've been using the acronym, but those have been refuted by Patrick Sandusky, who is a USOC representative down in Rio. He sent out a tweet today that said, quote, report by CNN that USOC has made decision regarding swim team are false. We won't address until we get back to USA. Focuses on team here. Mind you can insert some of the prepositions in there since it was a tweet, but that has been declared. We don't know yet what's going to happen. I would suspect some form of suspension for probably all four of them, even if two of them in Conger and Bentz are more guilty by association than not. That's probably what's going to happen. And honestly, is probably deserved. Bare minimum by Lochte that he said, you know, spoke lies and didn't do anything about that, but kind of just refute them some more. As we wrap up the show, because we are at 34 minutes, I do want to do a little bit of a shorter show because actually, spoiler alert behind the scenes, the football games that are happening tonight are actually boat races. There are multiple that are ahead of the 35-point threshold that the Missouri High School Athletics Company, their kind of their organization, notes for being the time when a running clock happens in the fourth quarter. So I have a little bit of work to do behind the scenes, but I do want to note some great things that happened. And of course, just some highlights. Most of these are going to be American because, of course, USA, blah, 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 you know, patriotism, whatever. More just because those are ones that I'm aware of because of living in the United States and therefore hearing that coverage. But some great highlights from this Olympics so far. Simone Manuel, first African-American lady to win an Olympic swimming medal. And it just happens to be gold. The young woman celebrated. I had a lot of friends make some jokes. I'm not going to repeat on here, but they were very excited. All of the ethnicity that follows in line with that. But Simone Manuel did that. Not only that, won a second one in a relay. So that's very exciting. Simone Biles dominating, winning five medals, including four gold, one bronze in balance beam, if I remember correctly. But still doing well for herself. Simone Biles, if you haven't seen anything she's done gymnastically, go look that up. I talk about the Katie Ledecky dominance. Just look at what this young woman does. That's power, folks. I don't care if there's a little bit of spring in the floor exercise part of the gymnastics to allow them to do some great work. Just go see it. Just Google Simone Biles. Even if you find her world championship footage, the PNG world championship footage that is on YouTube, go find it. You will appreciate me sending you there. It is wicked impressive. See what else has happened. Of course, Usain Bolt, the triple-triple, the 100 meters, 200 meters, continuing on with his just jovial personality. In the 200-meter semifinal heat that he had with the young man DeGrasse from Canada, kind of smiled over, kind of pointed at him, or kind of just turned his head over as he was running, kind of lacked up a little bit, and the young man from Canada ended up closing the gap to only get within 2 meters of him and take second in the heat. But there's still some fun happening. They were both laughing back and forth. You know, they both are pretty confident, as they both did pretty well in the 200, of course, going for the triple-triple in Usain Bolt, getting that gold medal for the third straight Olympics in the 200 meters. Just people having fun out there. It's a good sign to see for that. The United States women's team won the 4x100 relay. They captured gold. That actually just happened a few moments ago. They were eliminated as of yesterday. What happened is there was some jostling between a Brazilian runner and one of the U.S. women's runners. They fumbled the baton, and they were, you know, they fumbled the baton. It was ended up passing off, and they finished the race, although they were in last in that race. They contested it to the officials for track and field. They successfully won that appeal to run the race again by themselves on the track. They won that, but started it in one of the worst lanes, either lane one or lane eight. They ended up winning it tonight in 41.01 seconds in an upset over Jamaica, who won the silver. Allison Felix, who was already the most decorated female track and field athlete in Olympic history, has now won the most gold medals in history with five. And of course, as we said, the U.S. women were granted a rerun after it was ruled that Felix was obstructed by a Brazilian runner when they failed in qualification initially. Very exciting. The men from the U.S. basketball, they will be facing Serbia in the gold medal match. They obliterated Australia 87-61, they being Serbia, in their match. The U.S. had a little bit of a closer competition against Spain, but they did win their contest 82-76. So it's going to be Sunday where the U.S. men's basketball team vies for their third consecutive Olympic title. In case you're a fan of beach volleyball, as I am, Ross and Kerry Walsh Jennings won the bronze medal against the Brazilian team the other night. Of course, Walsh Jennings losing her first Olympic match in contest on beach volleyball a few nights ago. Disappointing to be sure, but great for her to pick up a bronze medal and continue that legacy. Three golds and a bronze in your four consecutive Olympics, not a bad deal. Now, she said she feels they're capable of winning another gold medal, but she doesn't know if she wants to prepare for Tokyo. Of course, this is a woman who's had two or three kids. She's married. She's in her late 30s. You know, she's been doing this for a while. Again, 16 years. She's been in these competitions. And, of course, Misty May Traynor, her former partner, had retired after the 2012 Olympics. So, you know, it may be time for her to step away. She's been thinking about it. She's, again, a spectacular athlete in beach volleyball. She's 38 years old, so she would be 41, 42 when the next time around comes. I would understand her not wanting to maybe prepare for that. She feels like she's done very well. She's won her accolades, and it's time to just retire. That could be very cool. And just, you know, maybe not the best way, not the ideal, like the Disney DreamWorks movie idea of four straight gold medals, but it's still impressive to see, and I was very excited to watch it. So it's been a very Olympics heavy. I wanted to hit you with some of the negative, some of the positive. Of course, wanted to focus on the Ryan Lochte story because now we're seemingly at the end of it, or at least about as close to the end as we will be. Of course, you can tune in on PZ85 Sports just in case, or when, I suppose, any word comes from the United States Olympic Committee about how they will be handled. If U.S. Swimming decides to suspend the four young men involved in the incident, we will let you know on here because we're here for all your sports coverage. Oh, by the way, before we go, UFC 202 press conference happened a couple days ago. Conor McGregor, arrogant as he is, missed the beginning of the press conference by 30 minutes. So that's not a good look. Went ahead, got to the press conference, talked some smack. Nate Diaz walked away because, of course, they have the rematch at UFC 202 this weekend, tomorrow, or today if you're listening on the day it's posted, on Saturday tonight in Las Vegas. So you have that happen. Conor McGregor has a bottle thrown at him by Nate Diaz's group or his entourage as Nate Diaz flips him off. Of course, Conor McGregor throwing F-words in response. Conor McGregor responds as only Conor McGregor would respond. Goes to the dais in front of him, grabs water bottles, and starts throwing things at Diaz. Of course, Dana White, trying to wrap up the press conference, says, "This is bad. We don't want anything to do with this." Alleges earlier today that there will be a lawsuit against both Diaz and McGregor. He says I don't have an official statement, but basically said it was dumb, that it didn't need to happen, but something was going to be fixed about it. So things could get ugly, and that's actually the quote. Dana White said things are going to get ugly for Diaz and McGregor. It's pretty bad. And he's actually, this is a statement from Fox Sports talking about it. Quote, "The UFC 202 pre-fight press conference may have stirred up a few more pay-per-view vibes for Saturday night, but that money might go right back out the door for a lawsuit that's already in motion. According to Dana White, UFC President Dana White, the wheels are in motion for a lawsuit after Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor started launching water bottles, cans, and even coffee cups at each other during the press conference in Las Vegas." This is a direct quote from TMZ on Thursday from Dana White. Quote, "The word is in this thing, somebody was injured, so there's going to be a lawsuit. Who knows how it'll all play out? Someone's filing a lawsuit. The wheels are in motion already for it." Quote, "They're both getting punished. What everyone's got to understand is we're overseen by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. I guarantee both these guys are going to get massive fines, and there's probably going to be a hearing after the fight. There could be suspensions, community service. It's going to get ugly." And then came back out with people asking, was it real? Was it faked? Quote, "It was 100% real. If you're going to come up with something staged, throwing cans and bottles on a stage is probably one of the dumbest things you could come up with. It's going to cost them both a lot of money, a lot of headache and hassle. They're both in big trouble." And while I flubbed the word lawsuit a couple times in there, you get the gist. It's going to be bad. And personally, I think, Dana White, although he may to a certain extent, Conor McGregor jumped the shark. There, I said it. The guy's acting a fool for no reason, just being stupid. And when you act stupid, you get punished. Ryan Lochte's going to learn really quick, I think. Conor McGregor might owe some people a lot of money. A lot of that money he alleges he's been earning the UFC with his antics over the last year or two. That's just dumb, dumb, dumb. Guys, gals in sports, stop being dumb. It's not that hard, I promise. I live my life not being too dumb. At least I hope not. Don't know if people in my life, my fiance and otherwise, would agree, but I try. And I think I do an okay job. So just stop doing that. And I'll break the news as we go out here on this episode of PZ85 Sports for August 20th, 2016. Again, recording Friday night, August 19th. So this will have happened at around 9 p.m. Central on Friday night. And I'll hear it to you now. I'll send it to you now on Saturday morning as this is posted. Usain Bolt anchors Jamaica to its third straight 4x100-meter relay gold medal. Bolt's ninth gold medal. So Bolt now has a triple, triple, triple. He's won the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and the 4x100 meter in three consecutive Olympics. He has 9 gold medals, no medals of any other color to my recollection. At this point, Usain Bolt's talked about maybe not going on at the next one. Because, yeah, he's younger, I suppose you could say. But by track standards, he's not that young. He's going to be 30. In 2 days, or one day, if you're listening to this on Saturday, the 20th, 21st, he turns 30. So, first, happy birthday to Usain Bolt when he gets there in a couple days, as if he's listening. But, yeah, 30 years old, he'll be 33, about to turn 34 the next time this happens. I could understand him not necessarily wanting to do through it again. By the way, and I confirm, 9 gold medals in the Olympics, no other color gold, or no other color medal in the Olympics, 11 golds and 2 silvers in the World Championships. Pretty decorated sprinter. Probably the best short sprinter of all time, the 100 and 200 meters. He's gotten both world records. He's doing pretty well. He's regarded as the fastest human being timed ever. Congratulations, Usain Bolt. Congratulations to the Jamaican 4x100 men's relay team. Wrapping up PZ85 Sports, remember, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me at Cody Sandusky. You can also go to podzilla1985.com, go to the cast and crew page. You can find the Twitter handles of some of our illustrious cast, including Jesse Kimball and Shannon Young, our co-founders for Podzilla 1985. You can go to patreon.com/podzilla1985, search our sweet apparel on redbubble.com, search Podzilla 1985 so you can back us. You can buy some of our sweet swag. The t-shirts are kind of cool. The sports logo t-shirt is nice. Pick yourself one up. As we said, you can go to twitter.com, go to facebook.com, find Podzilla 1985 and like it. You can find me at Cody Sandusky Sports, like that page. Go find Blogzilla 1985 and like that. And watch out for blogzilla1985.com. That site is being rebooted, rejuvenated, lots of new content coming. It's going to be a lot of fun. You might even see some sports blogs on that page, so watch out for that. A lot of exciting stuff going on around the bend here at podzilla1985.com. Glad to be back after the two-week hiatus. Tomorrow on Nerd Up, I'm sure the guys will be talking about the new Pokemon that have come out this week, another hype video for that. Lots of other gaming news going on. And of course, you can go back to listen to this week's episodes of Nerd Up, Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, the spectacular Suicide Squad discussion that happened on that. Lots of spoilers, heads up. Pro Wrestling Unscripted talking about the Cruiserweight Classic and what's going on in Raw and SmackDown as we build up to SummerSlam. And then the topical Tanner train wreck Thursday. Tanner wasn't there. The topic was kind of there. The train wreck, believe me, started right from the beginning and cruised on through. So tune into those on podzilla1985.com. Until next Saturday, I'm Cody Sandusky saying thanks for tuning in. Stay safe. Don't lie about going to anywhere and breaking anything and guns being pulled to your heads. And okay, whatever. I'll see you guys next time.